Hi, and welcome to the Passionistas Project podcast. We're Amy and Nancy Harrington, and today we're talking to Sashi Chandran, the innovator behind the premium beverage line Tea Drops. Sashi turned her childhood passion into a fun and approachable new school of tea. So please welcome to the show, Sashi Chandran.
Thanks so much for having me.
Really excited to have you here. What are you most passionate about?
I'm obviously super passionate about tea. I grew up in a very tea-enriched household, and that's why I decided to create my own line of teas. But I think the more I engage in drinking tea, what I really fell in love with was the experience that tea creates. And that for me is, tea is almost this bridge and vehicle to conversation and getting to know people better. So I feel, yes, I'm passionate about tea, but behind that, I'm passionate about creating experiences.
Why do you think that is the case with tea? Why do you think there's such a culture to it?
It's one of the oldest beverages in the world, second to water. It's the most consumed beverage. And I think for me growing up, tea was always a source of comfort. So when I was sick, my mom would make me a chrysanthemum tea and we would bond over that. And when I would go to parties on my Sri Lankan heritage side, we would have black Assam tea and it would be almost a conversation starter. You know, what's going on in your life? How are you doing? So I just think that the act of serving that beverage, it's both something that's very comforting to the person receiving it, and it automatically just drops any kind of walls or barriers or insecurities so that you can open yourself to have that dialogue.
Describe what a tea drop is.
For those who don't know, a tea drop is an organic press-shaped tea that disintegrates in your cup. It's actually comprised of full loose leaf tea with a little bit of spices and lightly sweetened with organic cane sugar. They come in fun, whimsical shapes. So we have hearts, we have stars, we have flowers, and we essentially pressure compress all of these spices and teas together to form the drop. So that the idea is that when you drop it in hot water and stir, your tea instantly brews and all the sediment of the tea leaves, the true loose leaf tea, drops to the bottom of your cup. So you can have the perfect cup of tea anytime, anywhere.
How did you figure that out?
Oh man, so when I was in, you know, corporate life, I always knew I wanted to be in the tea space, like since I was 8 or 9. I remember I joined Girl Scouts and we did this kind of offsite high tea experience, and it was such a community experience that I just fell in love with it. And I remember saying to my mom or someone that day, being like, I want to own a tea shop one day. That was kind of what I had in mind when I thought about being in the tea industry. But as I grew older and, you know, I felt that that might be something that, like, I love serving tea, but I don't know for my personality if that would be something I would want to do day in and day out. So I was always kind of looking for an idea in the tea space, like even when I was working this corporate job. And so once I figured out, you know, the process to make tea is very complicated and it requires so many steps, that kind of triggered the idea, well, you know, why can't it be simple? Why can't you know, making tea be simplified in some way? And then I thought through, well, if it's simplified, you know, that means it has to either be chemically altered or, you know, something, you have to make some kind of compromise. And then the idea came, well, you know, why can't you do that with loose leaf tea? What's stopping it? And at that point, I didn't have a chemistry background. I had no background in food manufacturing. So this was just an inspiration, and I sat on it for a little bit. And then I just actually started buying different tea blends and getting samples from different suppliers and started blending tea in my kitchen just so I could learn the properties of tea a bit more. Like if you ground it very fine, what happens? If you steep, you know, the whole leaf tea, what happens? What's the difference between a white tea, a black tea, a green tea? And so through that process of just learning more, I learned more about the tea leaf itself. And I didn't instantly start with the idea, hey, I want this to be a tea drop. It was just more like, how do I simplify the tea experience? And then as I experimented more, I did this for about a year and a half, 2 years, on, you know, after work and on my weekends. Then I figured out, okay, well, I think there are enough properties in the tea leaf that it can hold together in some, you know, with a natural binder or some, you know, natural process. So that sparked the idea of an all-encompassing tea experience that you didn't need any other fanfare or any other tools to prepare. And then the idea of the shapes just came because, you know, it's like, well, if I make a product, I want it to be fun and approachable. I think for so long, tea has been this almost stuffy, kind of associated with a lot of snobbery and highbrow. You know, you think about the British, you think about the steam tea time, high tea. And I think for me, I'm like, what I loved about tea is that it was something anyone could connect to. It's such a frankly an inexpensive way to really connect soul to soul with someone. So I thought, you know, I feel like the shapes will give it this fun factor that you'll feel really, you know, connected to, and it'll be approachable. So that sparked the idea behind the shape of the drop. And then I finally worked on the formulation. I got it. I worked with a patent attorney to see, you know, is there something here I could patent? And it turned out there was. So then I went down that rabbit hole, but I didn't have any experience. Like, my mom will tell you, I'm like, do not belong in the kitchen. This is like the last place you would find me. But I think if you're really passionate enough about something, you kind of just navigate and figure it out.
Tell us what you did before and how that sort of transitioned into what you're doing now.
Before Tea Drops, I was working Silicon Valley corporate life. I was a marketing manager at a large e-commerce company. I was at eBay. And I was working all facets. I was kind of on this fast track. So out of college, so I was on this rotation program where I was spending 6 months in different departments in marketing, from email marketing, digital marketing, you name it. I've basically covered that arena. And I actually was inspired to think about, or at least the inspiration for Tea Drops came while I was working, because when you're at your desk and you're working a really fast-paced job, you don't have the time or luxury to make a loose leaf cup of tea, right? If you do, you need an arsenal of equipment, you have a kettle, you have a strainer, you have to wait 3 to 7 minutes for it to brew, and I certainly didn't have the time to do that, let alone sit there and enjoy it. I would have to run to a meeting, and after I would run to a meeting, you know, I would be left with a messy tea bag to contend with and not know how to dispose of it. So a lot of my inspiration and the foundation really behind Tea Drops, both the skill set and as well as the idea, came from working in a corporate career.
At what point did you feel comfortable leaving your corporate job and making the leap of faith to do this?
I never had a justification for leaving eBay, you know, or leaving corporate life. I knew that I felt really conflicted, because on one hand, I had this really demanding job and I was climbing that, you know, that corporate ladder and a really great career, but it's very demanding. You know, you're working 60, 70 hours a week. And at the same time, I had this dream, this side dream of mine that I also wanted to tend to and grow. And it's almost like having one foot in one boat and another foot in another boat, and both are like, you know, sailing different directions, and you just feel really conflicted and split. And I just thought, you know, at that point I was 27 or 28, and I thought, you know, worst case scenario, if I jump ship and go to the Tea Drop side, at least I would have learned a lot, and the upside would be awesome, and the downside is frankly not that bad. Like, sure, I would lose my savings, but I would always have another skill set to fall back on and get a job. So for me, you know, people say that feels risky, but to me it felt like the downside actually wasn't that bad. So I didn't have the revenue justification to make the leap, but I knew that in sharing this product with friends and family, and even the sales I was generating online at different, I would start it at really farmers markets, type of you know, arenas selling the tea, that there was enough positive reinforcement there that I knew that if I just concentrated my efforts, something was going to come out of it. Like, I didn't know what, but I felt I had enough confidence that something would emerge. I couldn't tell you at the time what that was.
What's your typical day like now?
Oh man, the no day's the same, that's for sure. I think, you know, my role now, I'm founder and I'm CEO, is really to serve my team in whatever capacity they need. On one hand, you know, on the operational front, if there's something I need to pick up the slack on, I'm happy and willing to do. On the marketing front, and marketing is really where it's kind of my natural arena. I love brainstorming, you know, the brand side of things and what we want to do next to just reach a wider audience. Investor relations, we now have investors on board and advisors, and how do I you know, meet their needs and also have frank conversations with them, or frankly, if we're raising money, that's part of my day-to-day, you know, things to do. And then also just thinking forward of product innovation, you know, what do we want to come up with next? And obviously sales is involved. So there's a lot of different buckets that I have my hands in. And I think that's what's nice, because I always felt in my heart that I was more of a generalist. I wasn't like good at any one specific thing in life. So this kind of suits me well, that I can dabble in a lot of different things and not necessarily need to be an expert at any one thing.
Is there a part of your daily routine that's something you need to do every day to feel centered?
On a broader scale, I guess, you know, some people call it meditation, some people just call it journaling. But I do take a small amount of time in the morning either to like write something down, whether it is journaling or whether it is some kind of preparation for the day or something I want to remember for the day. And I feel like how you start your day is really, really important, at least for me, to just set the tone. So writing something concretely down that I want to either achieve, or a mantra, or a reflecting on something that I'm still, you know, harboring issues with the day before is a way that enables me to do it.
Do you have any kind of mantra or like rule that you live by?
My mantra is leave people and things better than how you found them. So whether it's, you know, one-person interaction, like smiling, as simple as smiling at someone when you go to the bank or get an Uber, all the way to, you know, this notion of being there to serve your team and being there to, you know, serve your family members and just making whatever interaction you have with them a better experience, or leave them better because of that experience that they had with you.
Can you talk about your strategy for branding and for promoting the line?
We've actually just underwent a rebrand with Tea Drops, and you know, really because I just started this like literally out of my kitchen and garage, and I was designing the box, and I have no business really being a designer. My brother, who actually is a great designer, helped me with the first iteration of the box. But as we started to grow and I saw the types of customers that were resonating with our line of teas, and also just, you know, as you grow as a brand, you also, you know, concurrently you're growing as a person. So I think the person I was when I started Tea Drops is very different than the woman I am today. And so when you go through that personal transformation, you also want your brand to reflect that. So we actually did an exercise, and Natasha was actually part of it back it was late last year, of, you know, what's true about Tea Drops, our brand? You know, what are the things that are really important about our brand? What do our customers resonate with? And when we made that list and really thought about who our customer is, I think what came out of that is that we are a women-owned brand, and we're one of the very few, if not the only women-owned tea brand on shelf. We're made right here in the USA, and that makes us unique. And we're California born. So, you know, I'm an LA native, born and raised here. I grew up in LA and also Malibu, so there's a lot of these coastal elements. And the other thing is that we want to make tea accessible. So that's why you'll see a lot of whimsical and fun shapes in our line. So when you bring all those things together, the next transition is, you know, okay, what is the logo that really reflects that? And we looked at different eras, we looked at different public figures, and the era that we really resonated most with when we thought about those ideals was the 70s. The 70s was a really colorful time. It was a transformation in women's rights and a lot of social issues. You have a beautiful, colorful tapestry like Yellow Submarine, disco, Soul Train, Flower Power, and we have even a flower, you know, tea drop. So all of that just came together, and that's why our logo kind of has this nostalgic 70s look and feel to it. And the refresh of our new line, and you'll see in our Tea Sprinkles line, which is our unsweetened line, it has a lot of that colorful 70s tapestry. So that's how we derived at our current look and feel. And our target audience is that millennial female, and she really gravitates towards that color palette and what our mission is, to be, you know, a woman-owned, made in America, USDA organic tea brand.
You made an interesting point about how you as a person have developed as your brand has been developing. Can you talk a little bit about that personal journey?
I don't think being an entrepreneur, and I wouldn't even have called it that back then, but it's not a rational choice. Like, you know, if you are looking for making a rational decision in your life, like, this is not it. And at the time, I didn't know that. And I think part of being naive actually works in your favor when you are starting something. I didn't understand anything about manufacturing. I had no idea what grocery retail meant. I, you know, had no idea to bring a product to life. I had no culinary experience whatsoever, no experience growing a business. My background is marketing, and I look at that and I look at the girl I was, you know, and what she didn't know, and I'm on one hand super grateful that I didn't know anything, because I would I have pursued it had I known all the barriers? I don't know. I can't tell you for certain if I would have. But at the same time, as you're going through, there's nothing like fire to really, you know, facilitate your growth. And I think I've been through now enough situations, and we're still really early in our journey, and there's a lot more, but I just feel more mentally equipped to deal with that. And a big part of that for me was understanding the importance of mental health when you are an entrepreneur, and I don't think enough has been said or talked about when it comes to that. And it was really hard for me in the beginning to, you know, keep getting rejection after rejection, whether it's a retailer, an investor, or what have you, and still get up the next day and be like, no, I 100% believe in this. I'm like, of course you do, but your morale can't help. We're all human beings, right? Can't help but be stifled a bit. So I think working through that, and instead of, as most entrepreneurs do, you know, isolating yourself from friends and family because you're all invested, you're doing this, breathing this 24 hours a day, it's kind of weird, but you have to actually, the secret I found is really expanding your network and actually leaving things at a certain time and going out and meeting up with friends and integrating your family more into your journey. And that's helped a great deal to ease that level of anxiety. But also having whatever your outlets are, whether it is therapy, whether it is working out and doing that consistently day over day, every day. Those to me are some of the most important takeaways from this entire experience and journey. And so yes, like I probably have lost a little bit of the naivete, but I think I've also gained a lot more perspective on how to weather the storm and things that I need to just keep going. And it doesn't mean it's selfish. It just means you're taking time for yourself. And frankly, that's a good thing because we say, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup.
And did you have people along the way that helped you come to that realization, either professionally or with this personal stuff?
I think definitely building a community of entrepreneurs and being and having that safe space to talk about a lot of the similar you know elements of the same journey that you're on. So I especially realized that moving the business down to LA, which I did earlier last year, I connected with a great group of women entrepreneurs here. In fact, a lot of them are in this building. And just being able to be frank about some of the hurdles, that like, you know, whether it is the rejection or just, you know, mentally getting that clarity that you need. And it is, you know, if you're a type A personality, which I tend to like lean towards, like I could work perpetually and frankly be happy doing it or what I think is happy, and you don't even realize burnout. So I've had to, you know, rely on the people around me to be like, no, like you're being a little crazy. You should probably like take a break from this and step away, you know? Or even my family, my dad always reminds me, I mean, because my parents are like the hardest workers, but if they're like, hey, like, you know, let's go take a break or come and visit us, then all of those things, you know, I'm now more attuned to listen to. And I think that's really important to have a community, whether it's entrepreneurship or, you know, family, whatever you consider a community.
This is Amy and Nancy Harrington, and you're listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Sashi Chandran, founder of Tea Drops. To learn more about her delicious pressed loose leaf teas, visit myteadrop.com. And now, here's more of our interview with Sashi.
You do a few unique things with your product. Talk about how you gift wrap the tea and also the note of gratitude that you include and why you do that.
You know, when I started this company, I really wanted, as I mentioned, tea to be an experience. So from the time that you receive the box, we used to gift wrap every single box of tea. Like I remember it would be the height of holiday. We would have thousands of orders and like, you know, 6 to 10 of us would be in my garage literally gift wrapping every single one. And it was why, I mean, it's not a great operational decision, but from my perspective, you know, I wanted when someone received that box to realize like an amazing experience awaited them, you know, inside. And from the point of receiving the box, of receiving a note that said, that personally said, thank you so much, like, this made our day that you even found us. And because you're just so excited in the beginning that someone even, like, how do you, you know, how does someone even learn about you? Or, you know, and I think that was really important to convey that to the customer. So we still have now a postcard that says, you know, thank you for your, for the purchase. And we do have now a gift wrapping sleeve if someone wants it. But as we scaled, we realized, like, this is just not feasible to hand you know, gift wrap thousands of orders anymore. So, but we still want to maintain that element of community and gratitude with every order.
Are there other ways that you promote community online?
Yeah, I mean, obviously social media is huge for us to convey our brand. And I personally am, even though we have a brand Instagram account and Facebook account, I personally will do the stories. So, you know, Instagram stories where you can just kind of recap anything you want. But for me, it's important that they see behind the scenes of what's going on. Even if it's not pretty, like sometimes we, you know, we were way behind in fulfilling online orders in December because we had a production issue and all of us had to go to our fulfillment center and like all hands on deck had to do the orders and being able to convey that to our consumers that there really are people behind this that, you know, we're a small business and here are the struggles and hurdles we have. I feel, you know, just naturally creates this connection to the customer. So, you know, having that connection, also building community within the larger Tea Drops universe is important too. So we just had a launch party here a couple weeks ago for our new line. And I was amazed, like customers of ours in the LA area came by and they were meeting each other and connecting. And it's just, it's wild to kind of see that happen in front of your eyes.
What values are you fostering in the community, in the Tea Drops community?
My mission is to foster community and connection through tea. So I think this idea of connecting one-on-one with someone and, you know, again, with the mantra of, you know, leaving them after that experience better than how you found them is something that's paramount to me. So how that kind of translates is with how all of us interact and interact as a team. Because I think, like, for me, it really starts with the happiness and relationship of your team itself, because if you can't create that type of harmony internally, how are you supposed to express that externally? So, you know, using that same principle of, you know, in our, it's not someone has a delineated responsibility. So when you were asking me earlier, you know, what does your day look like? There's no formula to it. It's like whatever has to get done, we all know it has to get done. And it's, we're doing it for the customer, we're doing it for the sake of the community, and it's not, oh, that's like not my lane, you know, I don't cover that. It's, that's like forbidden terminology on our team. So I think when you create that type of, or foster that type of atmosphere on your team, it helps translate that to our community, and they see that behind the scenes on our stories, and we also have a lot of blog posts that talk about, you know, what a day-to-day, day in and day out is like at Tea Drops and want to share that experience. So I think at the forefront of our values is really this idea of connection and community, and we foster that through our different social touch points. And even on our box, on the back, you know, it's like a icon of my face. It's like, it talks about please join our community, that this is way more than a tea box. We want to provide you with an experience and a connection to us.
How important do you think that is in the modern world to have your persona as the identity of a brand?
It's really hard because I could tell you when I started my career, it was like 2010, I could barely present in front of two people. Like this would give me extreme anxiety. I remember having like almost a panic attack when I had to like present a deck. Like it was so simple in a meeting. And so my natural inclination was always to just be behind the scenes, you know, like do everything. And but I realized that people are really connected to you. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, what you do. They want to have a connection with you and you know, see why you decided to do this. And beyond, you know, people don't just buy what you sell. They buy why you do it and who you are. And so as I started going to more trade shows and people wanted to, you know, want, like they found out I was the creator of this and they had so many questions, I realized that, you know, that's a really important part of Tea Drops is frankly me and like why I started this and that this is a super passion filled business. It's not like, you know, I had a plan B either for another business. Like, this is it. I put all my eggs in this basket. So I think sharing that and being really candid about the struggles, you know, that we face and what it's like to be an entrepreneur and build a brand, I think I've been more at ease with it. And I've developed more confidence to kind of be that face because I see how much our customers feel connected to that. When you're passionate about it, you can speak about it, and you really enjoy the process. I think once you get over the fear of it, you enjoy the process of sharing this because, it's your baby and you want the world to know about it.
Do you ever feel unmotivated?
I don't think the word's unmotivated. I just think that you don't realize how easy it is to burn out, or at least for a lot of entrepreneurs I know, and I'm, you know, included in this, is that you are just going. And there really is a fine line between like being able to go more or that hey, this is like diminishing returns, you know? And it's really hard because you only have your perspective. So I find that that part is, I'll notice now sooner when I'm experiencing burnouts. For instance, last week, we just had a string of trade shows, all these launches happening, and I told my team, I'm like, I'm taking Thursday and Friday off and through the weekend. And I went to Ojai and I just got some massages and hung out, and I knew it was coming on. So like, I'm better about assessing when burnout's coming on sooner, but I still struggle with it, you know, that I could keep going and not even realize that I'm declining. So it's not that I ever lose motivation, but if I am feeling like tired or like, oh, like, do I really want to do this today? I know that it's because of fatigue.
What do you think has been your biggest challenge so far and how have you overcome it?
I think frankly, it's learning learning more about your own power. And I have definitely had to step into that, whether it's, you know, being comfortable raising money. You know, there's stat out there that only 2% of female-run companies get funded, which is a crazy stat when you think about it. Or less than 2% of companies run by females also ever make it over $1 million a year, like compared to 7% male. So you see all this and, you know, it's hard to digest that. But for me, it's been navigating and figuring out that like I do have the skill set and the capacity to do this. And if I don't, I at least know the right people who can help me. And not being afraid to ask for help and not just wanting to do everything in a silo or independently. I feel like learning that, and I'm still learning it, has been a challenge, you know? There's operational issues that happen, there's blow-ups here and there with the work, but the most challenging part is like, you have to realize when you step into this, that's gonna happen. Like every day there's gonna be something that's like, you wanted to go right that didn't, or you know, whatever the flare-ups are. And I think the biggest challenge is how are you internally dealing with it? And it's still every day, you just have to kind of go in with a mindset that things are gonna go wrong, but like, how are you gonna respond to it? And that's a challenge every day.
What do you think is the most rewarding part of the journey so far?
I would have to say the community that we're building. Like, I would have never anticipated meeting a fraction of the people who I now consider great mentors, advisors, or even people on our team. You know, that's been it's amazing to grow something with really cool people. And even our customers, or this office with other women entrepreneurs who are now such an integral part of our community. Like, meeting you guys, you know, it's just, you never know who you're gonna meet next. And that's kind of this amazing surprise. And so it's really become less about this end destination, which eventually we all will get to. But the idea of, you know, meeting people along the way, of learning more about yourself, all that has been such a rewarding part of the experience.
And who are some of those mentors and what have you learned from them?
On our advisory team, we actually have some amazing women and men. But I was connected with someone named Craig Herkert through another mutual friend I went to college with, and you know, he's had an amazing career being CEO of Super Value and Walmart Americas, and he's been such a value add to tea drops. I mean, just by the being the person he is, it's not necessarily all of the work advice, but you know, this notion of we have a regular cadence of talking, and we might only spend like 5 minutes talking about work stuff, but he'll talk to me about music or like what's going on in the world. And I think his whole thing is, you know, don't get bogged down by what you're doing day in and day out. Like, you know, be interested in other people and interesting. And you do that by, you know, expanding your musical genre, of seeing Broadway shows, of doing a lot more activities that feed your mind and soul outside of your work. So I feel that's been tremendous, and not for the reasons you might think. We also have some amazing women on board. So we have Alexandra, who's you know, VP of legal counsel for a Silicon Valley company. We have Sherry, who's been a CFO for, you know, major grocery chains, who all bring this great perspective. And I would say, beyond just having their names, it's like they actually care and will invest the time. Like 2 weeks ago, we had a board meeting here, and everyone flew in, you know, and having that type of commitment for comparatively such a small company and brand, but I think they feel tied to our mission, and I'm just really grateful to have that level of engagement and support through them. And then beyond that, we have, I told you, the women entrepreneurs who are part of Industrious, but we formed this group called Women Made LA. So we all make consumer packaged good products. We're all women owned, and we really wanted to form this collective to knowledge share and benefit from shared resources. So even though we may not be able to hire a full-time designer on our own independently, by sharing that resource and expense, we all benefit from having that resource. So we've done things like that to just be a lot more collaborative and creative, and they've been a huge source of not just business, you know, advancing my business, but also being a great emotional support.
You've mentioned your family a few times. What about your family? What did they think of this whole venture? And maybe in particular your mother. Is your mother supportive? Did you learn lessons from her growing up that you've brought with you?
Yeah, my mom is the utmost supportive. I could be, you know, sweeping the streets, and she'd be like, my daughter sweeps the street the best, you know, like just, you know, uninhibited pride she has in my brother and I. So my parents are actually immigrants. My mom's Chinese, my dad's from Sri Lanka. My mom came to this country when she was 8 years old, and she reunited with her family that had already moved here, and they ran a Chinese restaurant in Fall River, Massachusetts. She had a really rough childhood. I think, you know, being disconnected from her family from such an early age, in Chinese culture, women are not valued as much. So my mom was a fighter from the get-go. You know, she always had to kind of fight for what she wanted. And when she was 16, she decided, I'm getting the hell away from here, and went to UCLA in California. So she moved there, and that's where she met my dad. And my dad was a international MBA student at Anderson School. His story is, you know, he grew up in Sri Lanka and worked for, he actually was born on a tea estate. We worked in the tea trade, shipping trade, and he decided, you know, there was a civil war emerging in Sri Lanka, and he saw the writing on the wall. And so he always wanted to pursue a higher degree. He applied to over 40 schools internationally. And he received that letter from UCLA, and he actually tossed it in the trash can because he thought it was a rejection letter. And he's like, let me just take another look. And he opened it, and it was a scholarship to Anderson School. So he came here in the early 70s, and my parents met at an international student dance at UCLA Cultural Center. So they met there, and the rest is history. But I think one thing I took away from my parents is they're entrepreneurial in their own right. Yes, they had corporate jobs, but they, you know, my dad worked in a department store as a buyer, but he also had this side business of, he would go to seminars on real estate and learn more about that, and he would slowly save his money with my mom and buy certain properties around LA. And my mom always had an entrepreneurial spirit. She would be, you know, growing up, she had a crystal store in a swap meet. And so my brother and I would go there every weekend. We would see her selling. We would see the other vendors. So we kind of learned about basic business practices early on. And my mom also runs this really big bake sale at their temple now, which is like over 500 people in congregation. They feed, you know, feed all of them with delicious goodies, from scones, popovers, you name it, they make it. So she's always had this enterprising spirit about her. And I, you know, I think you can't help but be influenced by that in some way, if nothing else than that work ethic and that perspective. So when I started Tea Drops, my parents, and they've always been like this, I'm very lucky, they've always said, you guys can do whatever you want, like, just be happy. Just be happy with what you're doing. For both my brother and I, because my brother also had a startup at one time. And, you know, I think for them, it's definitely coming from an Asian perspective and family, it's a big risk to leave the corporate world and do something like this. But my mom was the first to fly up and be there to make my first batch of Tea Drops with me and package them. And, you know, she is my biggest cheerleader, and I owe so much to her, you know, for doing that. But she continues to be, like, always there, you know, and always, she'll be the first to like a photo on our Instagram. So, you know, she's definitely engaged, or she has now access to some of our Shopify orders, because she used to help with fulfillment. So she'll be like, you're behind on this order, when is it going out? You know, so I think the amount of support that I have from my family makes a huge difference. And I feel, you know, now knowing more people, that's a rarity, and that's a gift to have that. So I'm just lucky in that way.
When you were growing up, were there women in, like, pop culture that you saw that influenced you?
I wasn't allowed to watch a lot of TV as a kid. I actually don't know anything about pop culture, like, before the 90s, because my parents didn't really allow us to watch a lot of TV. That said, I used to always break away at 3 o'clock to watch Oprah Winfrey as a kid. And I think I always resonated with her just, like, underdog story, you know, that she came from, you know, poverty, was raped, had a stillborn, and there's just no excuse, you know, there's no excuse in her book. And I just took that, I mean, people feel she's a very polarizing figure, but I think regardless, you could say, like, that's pretty inspirational. And she was my outlet to introduce me to a host of other, you know, women that were, and even men that were featured on her show, of, like, the possibilities of life, of, like, you can have just a really non-traditional life that's fulfilling. And so I definitely feel, like, inspired by that show, by her. And I remember that's, like, one of my strong memories as a kid, like, watching that and being like, oh, wow, you can make a living doing that? Oh, like, you know, just having really interesting guests on her show.
What's your definition of success?
I feel like I'm still figuring that out, but I do think success is about being happy with what you have and knowing that there's this underlying potential in you to do more. You know, that I think that it sounds like a dualistic kind of perspective, but on one hand, you know, you have to be happy and grateful for what you're given. At the same time, I think that there's all in all of us this, you know, whether you listen to it or not, this notion that you can do more, that there's more in you. And I always try to feed that side. And I think having a successful life incorporates being your best, doing your best. And so I think it's being grateful, but also knowing, like, you can step it up and do more.
What's been your proudest career achievement so far?
I think the best is yet to come, but I do think that starting this, you know, entrepreneurial journey of really leaving the security and nest of a lot of different fronts, and bringing Tea Drops into the world is something that I'm really proud of. No matter how this ends, like, even if, you know, tomorrow we're like close business, I would be so happy that I followed through on it. You know, that it wasn't just this distant desire, or that I quelled it in any way, that I actually, you know, took the steps to bring it into existence.
What advice would you give to a young woman that wants to be an entrepreneur?
The only thing, because this is something I grappled with a lot when I was younger, that, you know, I may have started this out of college, but I always felt, oh, you don't have the right connections, you don't have the right skill set, you need more experience and whatnot. I would say that the only thing that matters, the only thing, is your persistence. Like, getting up each day and trying. Everything else is just such a, you know, fallacy to think that you need all of these different things. Like, I didn't, you know, I think still really early in the journey, but I still don't know where some, you know, certain things are going to come from. And obviously that gives you a lot of fear and can be a stumbling block or feel like an obstacle. But really, I've noticed the best things have come from me just like trying and doing something each day, even though I didn't know what exactly the right action was, you know. So that would be my advice. Just persist. Don't give up. Even if you know, if everyone thinks it's a terrible idea and you still feel this like burning desire that you need to bring this to life, then do it.
Thanks for listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Sashi Chandran, founder of Tea Drops. To learn more about her premium beverage line, visit myteadrop.com. And be sure to follow Tea Drop on social media and subscribe to the Passionistas Project podcast so you don't miss any of our upcoming inspiring guests.